بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ياسين والقرآن الحكيم إنك لمن المرسلين على صراط مستقيم تنزيل العزيز الرحيم لتنذر قوما ما أنذر آباؤهم فهم غافلون لقد حق القول على أكثرهم فهم لا يؤمنون إنا جعلنا في أعناقهم أغلالا فهي إلى الأذقان فهم وجعلنا من بين أيديهم سدا ومن خلفهم سدا فأغشيناهم فهم لا يبصرون وسواء عليهم أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون إنما تنذر من اتبع الذكر وخشي الرحمن بالغيب فبشروا بمغفرة وأجر كريم إنا نحن نحيي الموتى ونكتب ما قدموا وآثارهم وكل شيء أحصيناه في إمام واضرب لهم مثلا أصحاب القرية إذ جاءها المرسلون إذ أرسلنا إليهم اثنين فكذبوهما فعززنا بثالث فقالوا إنا إليكم مرسلون قالوا ما أنتم إلا بشر مثلنا وما أنزل الرحمن من شيء وما أنزل الرحمن من شيء إن أنتم إلا تكذبون قالوا ربنا يعلم إن وما علينا إلا البلاغ المبين قالوا إنا تطيرنا بكم لئن لم تنتهوا لنرجمنكم وليمسنكم منا عذاب أليم قالوا طائركم معكم أئن ذكرتم بل أنتم قوم مسرفون وجاء من أقصى المدينة رجل يسعى قال يا قوم اتبعوا المرسلين اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا وهم مهتدون وما لي لا أعبد الذي فطرني وإليه ترجعون أأتخذ من دونه آلهة إن يردني الرحمن بضر لا تغن عني شفاعتهم شيئا ولا ينقذون في ضلال مبين إني آمنت بربكم فاسمعون قيل ادخلي الجنة قال يا ليت قومي يعلمون بما بما غفر لي ربي وجعلني من المكرمين.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته, and welcome back to the Riddles podcast in the dunya, the three Muslims. Alhamdulillah, we're finally back with the home base. All three of us are here, and it feels good. How are you guys doing today?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, how are you?
Alhamdulillah.
Anhum, bro, you're not stressed out anymore.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Got the normal portions going.
Alhamdulillah. Rami, how's everything on your end?
Alhamdulillah, tamam, everything's good. Amin says, finally, the three Muslims. Wasn't expecting all three of you. Finally, without the cap fayad. It's the three Muslims for once. Alhamdulillah. And wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah to everyone who said salam alaikum. Welcome, guys. Alhamdulillah, we're glad to be back. And we're talking about some pretty important stuff today. So I think, inshallah, we should just jump right into it. What do you guys say?
Honestly, man, I can't believe people in the comments really thought we got Pearl on.
They thought that?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should take time to explain. Whenever you see somebody whose head is either big or the same size as one of ours, they're on the show. If their head is off to the side and they're smaller in the corner or something, like the way Andrew and Pearl's is in this thumbnail, they're not on the show, but we're talking about them. So that's how we're going to organize your thumbnails, inshallah, so you know.
Inshallah.
But inshallah, we would like to have her on. I reached out to a few people who are in contact with her to try and get her on. Unfortunately, I don't know if the message got through to her or if she didn't want to. But inshallah, we'd be 100% down to discuss with her, as we are with basically most people or anyone. But she has to be willing to, you know, she has to be down to. By the looks of the situation so far, I don't think she really is interested in talking to Muslims. But inshallah, we'll discuss that in a bit. So just to give you a briefing on the situation, she took to Twitter, of all places, for some reason, to ask a fundamentally difficult question for a lot of people to, you know, really even fathom nowadays, which is, did the Prophet ﷺ really marry Aisha at the age of 9? Or marry, do the contract at 6, but consummate at 9? Now, the issue that most Muslims took with it, including Muhammad Hijab and others, rightfully so, by the way, is the terminology that she used. She asked, did he screw a 9-year-old? Did he date a 9-year-old? In what world does she not know that Muslims don't date? In what world does she not know that? Come on. In what world does she not know that she shouldn't use this kind of language when talking about Muslims? Like, maybe, you know, your women where you're from screw. Maybe they get screwed. Our women don't get screwed, alhamdulillah, because we protect our women. Or at least that's the goal of Islam, alhamdulillah. So, alhamdulillah. Regardless, she later only really vocalized the voice of some anonymous historian who she says, she basically put out tweets on this person's behalf, saying that she did not hit puberty and this is wrong and these people are biased, these people are wrong. At the same time, the facts that he's stating line everything out that it was completely okay. What do I mean? I mean that the person in the argument stated that the age of majority was around puberty. Okay, Aisha hit puberty, therefore it was okay. She was the age of majority for the time. Their problem was they didn't believe Aisha hit puberty for some reason. For some reason. They had no evidence for this, didn't share anything. They just called everyone else bogus for saying so. Even though every scholar, even early scholars at the time of the Tabi'in, Tabi Tabi'in, believed that she, in the Sahaba as well, believed that she started menstruating and hit her puberty at 9 years old. So this has never been a point of contention. In this whole discussion, the issue has never been whether she hit puberty or not. This is just something that I've seen recently, because I think people know they can't really discuss it morally from whatever standpoint they have, whether they're an atheist or a Christian or even a Hindu, because they have that stuff in their books as well. So after all of that took place, and she only vocalized basically the anti-Islam rhetoric, she only seemed to want to believe the anti-Islam rhetoric, the belief that she was 19 instead of 9, and she made a 10-year mistake somehow. Even though she narrated thousands of hadith, somehow she made a 10-year mistake. Or one of the hadith transmitters accidentally said 19 instead of 9, because in Arabic you would say like 19 instead of 19, you know? So like they just added a 1 or something like that. It's like, How do you make, or they, sorry, they forgot the one instead of saying it. How do you make a mistake like that? If they made mistakes like that, they wouldn't be top level narrators. The hadith wouldn't be as widely transmitted as it was. So the loops they have to jump to say that. But she, that seemed to be the case she wanted to believe. Even going as far as to say, I can understand 11 or 12, but 9? It's like, so what makes 11 okay and not 2 years earlier? If the person is as developed as some 11-year-olds. Like, there is no qualifying it. There's no way to qualify it based on an age. There's no standard for it there based on age. But what do you guys think so far from the situation I described?
It's nothing new, bro. This has been a criticism for many years. And it's not right. It does cause a lot of fitna, bro, in the community. Cause a lot of doubts in a lot of people that are misinformed, or they fall into the fallacy of presentism. They look at things from a modern lens with Western laws. But this is why you have people like the brother Fullmetal Theist that has made academic criticisms and refutations on these claims.
Yeah, yeah. And I think actually Muhammad Ajab has a really, really good 2-part course or a video, I guess, series where he's teaching a class on this topic on the Sapiens Institute, and it's on YouTube. It is so amazing, I'd say, academically, the way it breaks it down from the different angles, from the Islamic angle, from how a Christian might attack and how to respond, an atheist might attack, how to respond, all the way to what's maybe in the Hindu scriptures he mentions towards the end, and what some of the academics say about the age of majority and the age of maturity, about when people were considered mature, about how, you know, childhood has now become a social construct. And he made a very interesting point, which I just can't, like, I wanted to save this for if we ever speak to Pearl, but I can't hold back, to be honest. I think it's such an amazing point that he made, which is, when you ask people like Pearl, what is a woman? Or these trad cons, or Matt Walsh, what is a woman? What do you think they would say?
An adult human female.
An adult human female. Okay. Is that the scientific answer or the social LGTV answer?
I'm going to be honest, bro. I'm pretty sure it's scientific.
Exactly. So when they're talking about what is a man, what is a woman, it's purely scientific. When you ask them what is a child, what would they say? Would they appeal to science and say someone who has not hit puberty, that is a child, and anyone who's hit puberty is no longer a child and now is an adult? Would they use that kind of definition? Just like the people traditionally use that definition a few hundred years ago, all throughout history, the age of majority was basically that. Would they use that? No. So why are they picking and choosing? Why now is childhood a social construct, but a woman isn't? Why can't, and this is something we discussed recently on the channel, if gender is a social construct, people can say whatever they want about it. If it's related to sex, they can't. Same thing with childhood. So why do you pick one scientific answer for one and then a social construct answer for the other? You are now a progressive leftist, if anything, and you're not traditional. I think that was an amazing point that, again, not my point, but Muhammad Ajab made. I think it was fantastic. Now, I know I'm talking a lot, but it's a very interesting topic. On top of that, guess who she decided to visit on their stream?
Ridwan.
Yeah. Ridwan and David Awad. Out of everyone. If you're sick, you have a stomach ache, you go to the doctor. If you have a toothache, you go to the dentist. If you have a question about physics, you go to a physicist. If you need some pills, you go to the pharmacy. Or you go to the doctor and they give you the pharmaceuticals. But if you have a question about Islam, you go to an ex-Muslim and a Christian. Now, I do this because I don't know why an ex-Muslim needs to basically have their whole channel dedicated to talking about Islam. And I don't know why a Christian needs to dedicate their whole channel, which is supposed to be apologetics, by the way, to debunking Islam. 90% of their stuff is anti-Islam, if not all of it. So she goes to talk to these people about Islam rather than just speaking to Muslims. We've invited her. I'm sure Muhammad Ajab, even though, you know, he was upset with what she said, would be down to talk to her. We're open to it. We've extended an invitation many times. I literally responded 50 different times to her tweets with tweets of my own. She's been invited, but she goes to them to talk about Islam. If that speaks volumes to me. I don't know. I want to hear your guys' thoughts, but that speaks volumes to me. What do you guys think about that?
I think that is just her kind of like, you know how people, they go fatwa shopping? And they try to find the answer that suits them.
Yeah.
She's just looking for the thing that suits her way of thinking at this moment in time.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Try and stay like in the middle sliver. It's kind of hard when you
yeah, he's getting cut off
camera like that. Yeah, but absolutely. And I was actually, when I asked the question, I thought about it for myself for a second, and I agree. I think that she's actually scared to get the opinion that she was 9, because she just can't, you know, conceive of a world where that's possible. But if she herself lived just a few hundred years ago, that would have been her reality. In one of my tweets, I responded with a picture. It was kind of the best estimate or the best understanding of historically what the age of majority was in different states in America, just like, you know, in the 1800s. And in the 1800s, I think majority of states had 10 as like the age of maturity on average, some 12. So it's okay, literally like 200 years ago, literally 200 years ago, 10 years old. But 1400 years ago, 9 years old, that's crossing the line. So I don't know. I don't know why that is unfathomable for her, but I think she just needs to be educated on it, to be honest. It's just a matter of if she's willing to be. So what do you think that, what do you think they discussed on the channel or on the video? What do you think Ravon David Wood presented to her as the answer? Do you think they mentioned, oh, it's a fallacy of presentism, it's okay, because that was how they did things at the time and she was mature for the time? And no, it's
probably just emotional, bro.
Of course not. On top of that, they added things that had nothing to do with the situation, or potentially had nothing to do with the situation. So I want to talk about it. We talked about it on the last stream where we actually reacted to Ridwan David Wood and a Christian named John, I believe. His name is What Do You Meme on YouTube. We discussed this stuff there. Like I mentioned, Muhammad Hijab has a 2-part series. You guys can watch that, inshallah. I want to talk about what happened afterwards. They mentioned a hadith where Aisha radiallahu anha was playing with dolls. She was playing with dolls and she was with like other like female like girls or whatever. And they were all playing. And the Prophet would you know, enter the room, walk in the room, and the other girls would run away and hide. And then the Prophet would call them out and, like, to go back and play. For some reason, they read this and say, therefore, when the Prophet consummated with her, she did not have puberty because she's playing with a doll. How on earth do you get to that? She's playing with a doll. And it's so funny because David Wood himself, if you watch his video, sometimes he'll have like an action figure behind him on the shelf. There's something I think Ali Dawa mentioned in the video. He'll have an action figure behind him on the shelf. People will be playing video games and watching cartoons like anime and stuff until they're 30 years old, 40, 50 years old. They're old men playing video games. And 1400 years ago, when the only like toy they had or the only entertainment they had was like poetry and dolls and that stuff, all of a sudden that means that she's a child. There have been experts, and Muhammad Hijab mentioned it in the video, that have discussed that toys would basically grow up with you over time and they'd become a cherished object for you to pass on to your later generations. So when you find a toy, it doesn't necessarily mean it actually belongs to a child. It could be someone who brought it from childhood up to adulthood and was going to pass it on to somebody else. So why did they stipulate that this means that she did not have puberty? Allahu an. It's just a narrative that I think they want to push, even though many times I think they have been educated on this and they've been taught about this before. And then later, sorry, go on.
I don't know what's so crazy about it. I mean, just the other day I was with my sister. We were in this place called, I think, Sky Zone, something like this. DeFi. I don't know. It's a trampoline park.
Yeah.
And some little kid shouted out that he wanted sex. And I looked at this little kid and I just gave him this look. And I looked at my niece and I was like, nah, you're not going to be around this little kid.
Yeah.
This little kid was probably maybe like 8 years old, 9 years old. When I told my sister this, my sister said, yeah, some kids that in fourth grade are already having sex. So, I mean, these kids in fourth grade, they're like 9, 10 years old. So should we, you know, should we create this huge deal? I mean, yes, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Because we're not used to it. But just because we're not used to something doesn't necessarily mean that it's not natural. I mean, it sounds really bad the way I'm saying it. But it's understandable that when we reach puberty, sexual thoughts begin to go through our head.
Yeah.
You know, this is a fact. I mean, there's little boys who are like 5 years old, 6 years old, and they have they have things like this going on in their head. They have no idea what it is. Yeah. They're over here touching themselves, I don't know what, little toys, little Barbie dolls, and they have no idea what they're doing. So it's there. It's human nature.
Yeah. And see, this is the thing. Like, if let's say 2 12-year-olds wanted to have sex or whatever, and they use protection or whatever, how many people would actually have a problem with that and say, no, you cannot? And how many people would actually have would take an issue with that? So it's about, this is the thing. And this is something Islam is 100% with. It's about protecting people who are not ready. It's about protecting people who are not ready for sex and for marriage, whether they're too young or too old. So, and you can, this is the thing, they're again, a lot of things I'm saying go back to the video with Muhammad Hijab. So if you want to watch that, go ahead, inshallah. But there's a place for doctors in Islam as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, if you don't know, ask those who know. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in the hadith that basically if there's a doctor or a practitioner or a medical expert who basically, you know, prescribes something to a person and ends up damaging them more, then the doctor actually bears the sin of that or the fault of that. So they have a place. So you can consult medical experts on if someone is capable or ready or not ready or whatever for marriage and for sex and all that stuff. So if it's about protecting people, the reason it's wrong is because it's harmful. So now I pose a challenge to everyone who thinks that the Prophet 1400 years ago, when he married Aisha radiallahu anha, it was wrong based on this principle that it's harmful. Show me one hadith where she was harmed by it. Show us a hadith where she was harmed by the fact that she married and married at 6, consummated at 9. Show where it harmed her. And if it didn't harm her, then you can't say it's wrong by your own standards.
I don't think that the problem is that she was 9 years old. I think the problem is with these people is when they look at the age of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they see this huge disparity. But if you look at today's day, you have guys that are like 70 something, 80 something years old, and they're with women who are like 15. So what's the difference here?
Allahu Akbar. This is the thing. Like, people cannot fathom a reality other than their own. People, like, think about, you can't even really fathom what it's like to not live under liberalism, to not live under capitalism. You can't really fathom what it's like to live under any ideology other than this, any, you know, like non-democratic place, if you've only been in a democratic country, if you're in a liberal country. So you think you're going to be able to understand, you know, a few hundred years ago, and like literal, like what you consider children were basically grown adults. Like, people at, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15, just a few hundred years ago would do things like, you know, fight in wars or have full families, be out working in the markets. Even today, by the way, if you go to certain countries, you see young, what we consider young boys who have families, who have kids, who have families, who are maybe like, they're 13, 14 themselves. They're out in the streets and in the marketplaces working, doing whatever they can to make money. They have their own jobs. They have their own families, getting water from wells and all that stuff. In today's world, just not in the West that you live in. We have a super chat here. Salam brothers, keep up the good work. I was wondering how come Aisha radiallahu anha had dolls when it's prohibited to have objects which imitate Allah's creation. So there's two opinions. One is that this event took place before she hit puberty. That's one understanding of it. Another one is that the doll didn't have any facial features. So there, it's halal. Mm. It's only haram when it has facial features. And some scholars, I don't know, I don't remember which one exactly, but there are different commentaries on the hadith. Some scholars said this actually happened, I think it was like 12 years after the Aisha radiallahu anha either married or consummated. So, you know, when she was like 15 or 16 years old. So hadith is about when she was 15, 16. So again, doesn't even fall into the context of trying to push it in by that understanding.
Bro, it's human nature that we look for things that affirm our values and beliefs, you know what I mean? Snap. You remember when you said that, actually, you know what? I was watching this video by Asim al-Hakim today on mortgage. Is it permissible? And he was saying that these are people that have genuinely made up their minds that they want to get a house that they can't afford. So what they do is they don't really care what scholar said that it's permissible. It's just the fact that one scholar said it's permissible. You know what I mean? And they just go fatwa shopping.
Yeah.
So I think it's, subhanAllah, it's no surprise, bro, even with the kafirs, they find things that reinforce the beliefs just to feel almost backed up in things that might be deviant or wrong or immoral. But this does beg the question that I want to ask both of you. Have you guys heard about the Stockholm Syndrome argument for Aisha radiallahu anha? And what would you guys say to that?
I would say produce your evidence. So what is Stockholm Syndrome? Stockholm Syndrome is basically when you are abducted, let's even add like emotionally or whatever, by a person, and you end up falling in love with them afterwards. This is clearly a process in which you don't want to be with this person, but you're either abducted or forced by your family or kidnapped by a person, and you don't want it, but eventually you fall in love with the person. You're captive. Show the evidence that she was against it, she didn't want it in any capacity, in any way. Even something later on where she's like, first I didn't want to marry the prophet, but you know, later I fell in love with them, something like that. Show it. If not, you can't make the argument. An argument is not a claim. A claim is a claim. I can claim that, you know, you're ugly. You know, that's a claim. An argument is a claim with evidence. So, okay, that's fine. You want to claim that? Cool. It doesn't matter. If you want to argue that, please bring your evidence. And then, inshallah, we can actually entertain it as if it's, you know, something worth talking about.
I think you answered it beautifully, bro.
Barakallahu feekum, bro. Allah bless you. We have a question here. So when did she hit puberty? When she was 9 or 15? When she was 9. Approximately when she was 8 or 9. 15 would be very, very late. And if anything, that would be, you know, fairly abnormal.
Also, then the Prophet ﷺ wouldn't have consummated the marriage if it was 15. Because never did he do anything that was immoral or against the teachings of Islam. Against the commandments of Allah.
Yeah.
You know, a big problem is, as well, these people that they latch on to these things that make them angry, make them emotional, and make them think, ah, look, because of this, Islam can't be the truth. I think these are people that are not actually looking for the truth. Because if you were looking for the truth, you would first take a step back. And then you would see that you've been programmed since you were a little kid. And the way you think, the way you perceive everything has been programmed into you. And in order for you to see things exactly for what they are, the reality, step outside of the matrix, you have to first want to actually look for the truth. Because once you want to look for the truth, then you realize, oh, there's a lot of lies out there. And I need to take a step back. And the moment you take a step back, you see the reality. You say, oh, well, I've been programmed ever since I was a little kid. What have I been programmed with? What have they been trying to show me? What kind of thought patterns and behavioral patterns were they trying to put within me ever since I was a little kid? And once you start to deconstruct this, you start to see the reality of why they were doing this. And then you start to see, okay, well, what are they trying to go against? You know, and one thing leads to another, and it brings you to Islam inevitably. So if these people are over here getting upset about all this stuff, I mean, genuinely, if you really are seeking the truth, you wouldn't be angry about this. You wouldn't be over here trying to find one little thing to justify your emotion. Like, if I'm angry about something, I could play the victim card. I could just continue to be angry. Or I could chill out and actually, you know, see why it is that I'm getting angry.
Do you think this was the case, bro, in your reversion to Islam?
100%. Because it came from stepping away from everything. Doing a dopamine detox. I was literally away from everything. And I started to just break every little thing down in my head. So I'm just saying, man. I think genuinely with these people, they are not really looking for the truth. Because even as Muslims, Allah still says, seek the answers. Read for yourself. You ask any Muslim, you ask any scholar, and they will all tell you the same thing. Look for the answers yourself. Do not believe blindly. I mean, you have Muslims that still look to even see, oh, is Islam actually the truth? And through their search, they find that Islam is the truth. Again, it's genuine that genuine want to actually find the truth. And I don't think these people have it.
Yeah. My last one to guide us at the end of the day, it's sincerity is a huge, huge part of it. You know, like you were saying, they have to want the truth. They have to really look for it. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide them. We're presenting people with what we believe to be the truth, with as best arguments that we can bring. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and you guys, inshallah. If you see the value in it, then really consider Islam, genuinely. Don't just make it one of those things like, oh yeah, maybe, and then forget about it. You know, really look into Islam genuinely. And if you think that the argument is wrong, counter it. No problem, inshallah. You know, bring your best counter argument or why you think the argument's wrong. And inshallah, we could discuss.
Yeah. I mean, just think about this for a second. You have a kid in school. Kids nowadays, they are being taught from this book about pride. Now, I'm not even going to say which one it is because I feel like everyone here already understands which one I'm talking about. These kids are being taught this. Now, as these kids begin to grow up, do you think that they will be for or against? If they're being taught this in school and the parents are okay with it, their friends are okay with it, their class is okay with it, everyone around them is okay with it, please answer me the question. Do you think that they will be all right with it, or do you think they're going to be against it?
They're going to be okay with it. It's going to shape their reality. They wouldn't really know anything other than that.
Bro, if that doesn't scare you into actually looking at your own belief system and how you perceive things, I mean, I don't know what will.
Yeah, that's a great point. And subhanAllah, you know, I have so much respect for people who come to Islam after living in today's age, in today's world, in the Western societies, because you have one very specific way of life, and then you have Islam that counteracts that way in so many different points, on so many different levels. And people see that and people go with it. And people are okay with it because they realize Islam is the truth. And they want to submit to Allah. They want to believe in God. They want to practice the religion that God sent for humanity. Even if it means giving up on the things that, you know, they were doing even just a month or 2 months or a year ago. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them immensely.
I mean, bro, do you want to get into that? Because many people would rather say that Islam seems like a very specific way of life. And outside of that, you can live however you want to.
I don't necessarily think that's wrong, but it defines specific. Like, what makes something specific versus not specific? Sorry, I know why my camera doesn't want to focus on me.
I think the issue is people look at things outside of Islam as freedom and diverse and individualistic. But the issue is the status quo has already been set. So even outside of Islam, there's still things that they want you to feel, think, and operate with. So yes, it's like a facade of like choice and all that, but there really isn't, bro, because we have this illusion of choice. But when you look at society and other ways of life aside from Islam, it almost predictates how you should think. And if you deviate from that, then you're no longer good or moral.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, look at Nick Merckx. As you can believe whatever you want, but as soon as you make a general tweet like "leave the kids out of it," you lose your entire Call of Duty collection and sponsorships want to drop you, and it's this whole feud and all these people who, you know, are against you. So you can't, like, it's like you can believe what you want, but you're going to be punished if you believe this and that. It's so you don't have the choice. And on top of that, freedom, should people be absolutely free? If people are absolutely free, you have what liberalism was meant to be, which is anarchy. You have this anarchist liberalism, which is everyone's free to do anything they want, no government, no rules, pure anarchy. And maybe there are a few people, philosophers even, who wanted this initially. Then you have liberalism that brings police and governments and judges and authorities over the people that the people allow for the sake of, you know, unity and some kind of protection. But it doesn't protect you from yourself. Government's not going to stop you in some countries from offering yourself. They're going to help you do that if that's what you want, if that's what you desire. It's not going to stop you from drinking or smoking or doing any of these things that harm your body. They're going to tell you, oh, it's bad, but they're going to let you do it. And at the end of the day, this society is breaking people. So why would it be good if you could choose to hurt yourself? That's stupid.
Yeah, they're all right with that because it brings in money.
Exactly. Exactly. That's another aspect. Capitalism. It's a huge aspect of it. Liberalism is freedom of the individual. Capitalism is freedom in the markets, free markets, privatized markets, which means you can have one person who is so rich that he owns all the markets and got into everything before anyone else did and privatized it basically only for himself. And everyone else is like the bottom and he's the top. Pure capitalism is that, by the way.
Yeah.
Selling Islam is not profitable, bro.
Yeah, well, actually it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will you know, pay us what we're doing, inshallah.
In the dunya, to the oligarchs, to the elites, it's not.
Yeah. But, you know, subhanAllah, this is what I think this really ties into the next topic, which is Andrew Tate. So inshallah, soon, by the way, guys, we're going to move into a call-in. Go to the Three Muslims Discord in the description, inshallah. Go to the call-in show and then in the waiting room specifically, and we'll bring you guys up so we could talk about the Andrew Tate situation. But subhanAllah, when it comes to Islam and what it came to do, every single prophet came to their people. If you look at the surah titled The Poets, in the Quran, towards the end, you see Allah mentions all these different prophets who went to their people and said, oh, people, you know, basically worship only Allah, only worship Allah and obey me. The prophet is saying, obey me. Why? Because we need to reform society and structure it in a way that God wants. This is what Islam came to do. Submission. The whole state submits to Allah. The leader of the state submits to Allah. Every citizen submits to Allah and lives in the way that he wants human beings to live. This is what Islam came to do. Now, when Andrew Tate mentioned something, I guess along those lines, people really went against him for some reason. There are a few things he said on the podcast that I think were definitely wrong and need to be kind of talked about from an Islam perspective. But this was definitely not one of them. So he mentioned that Islam is practical, right? And people stand up for the religion. Islam is something basically that is practical for people in life. And that's something that he likes. And people are like, that's not all Islam is. It's not just practical. It's not just practical. But in our implementation of it, it is fully practical. So why would it be wrong for him to mention one of the by the way, Islam is basically the only religion that has this. Judaism has it, but then they lack the spiritual. And they have too much of it, if anything. That's why Jesus alayhi salam came to make some of their laws easier for them, as instructed by Allah. Islam came to be practical. Islam came to say, you need to clean yourself like this. People make fun of Islam for this. Oh, it tells you how to clean yourself. You wish you knew how to clean yourself. People don't use water after they use the bathroom, man. You know how disgusting that is? Astaghfirullah. People need to be taught these things. It sucks, yeah, but people need to be taught. People need to be taught how to engage in business transactions so they don't wrong each other. People need to be taught that. People need a practical way of life. That's why Islam came, to stop the high elites from taking advantage of the lower, weaker people, to equalize people as much as possible, to tell everyone that they're all potentially could be loved by God, no matter their race, no matter their upbringing, no matter their economic status, but by virtue of good deed and good religion.
This is why I was saying before, that everything was programmed into us, and that these things or these people that are in control, they have their own agenda. They have what they are trying to herd the human sheep, so to speak, right? We're being herded and we don't even realize that we're being herded. And for someone who thinks that Islam is too strict and too rigid, I mean, just think about it. When you follow Islam, it allows you to purify yourself. It allows you to get in the best state mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. And is not asking for any money, is not asking you to do anything that's harming any other person in this world. So you tell me, is it really that strict, or is it actually the thing that's meant for us? If it's doing such good for us.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great point. And just to quickly piggyback off that, imagine a society where it's complete anarchy. Anyone could do literally anything that they want or anything that they're physically capable of doing. Our society right now would be seen as strict, because in their society, they can do literally anything. So since our society allows us to do basically anything to ourselves, well, now Islam, which is normal, by the way, it's the normacy, now that seems to be strict. I want to go back to anarchy for a second. Because when you look at liberalism and their way of life, it's on Britannica. You can look it up. I think Thomas Paine, I don't remember exactly what the name was, but he's a philosopher. And he basically argued that governments are against liberalism. Judges are against liberalism. Police are against liberalism. The reason we have to have them is to ensure some kind of protection of the freedoms of the individual. So it's basically seen as what they would call a necessary evil. Even in their fundamental basis, which the human being is born free to do basically whatever they want. Even in that basic, general, fundamental belief, they have to turn their backs on that and introduce some kind of dogma, some kind of strictness, some kind of authority over the people, because they know how stupid it is, how silly it is. The founding fathers of liberalism. Now, all these years later, we're living in it. We're in the melting pot of it. We're in the middle of the whole conundrum. And until you look back and see how this started and the trajectory is set everyone on and where we are in that trajectory and where we're heading, you're not going to understand anything. You know, it's like the analogy Anhal always gives. If you're looking at a picture like this, you're going to see one pixel. You're not going to see the full picture until you back up. Back too far away from my mic. But, you know, you're not going to see the whole picture until you back up. So once you back up, see, where did we start? How did we get here? Where are we going? You can put two and two together and say, okay, well, that's pretty messed up. The whole reason we got here is because Christianity and the church oppressed people and they got so mad about it. They're like, I want to be as free as possible. No one's going to hold me down. That's literally what started this whole chain of events and why people see religion as evil. Just think about that for a second. That's the reason? Yeah, that's the reason. Historically, look into it.
This makes me think of before I became Muslim. I used to look at religion as a very bad thing. But the more that I started going into spirituality, and I say spirituality because I didn't want to refer to spirituality as religion. I saw the things as two separate things. Mm-hmm. And I used to do the whole meditation thing. And like the more I did this, the more I purified myself, I felt better. I felt more in tune. I felt like I was living the way that I was supposed to be living. And it started to get me closer and closer to the truth. And then it's not till later on, once I accepted Islam, once I became Muslim, that I was like, this whole belief pattern that I had before was a limiting belief pattern. And looking back, it was something that was instilled into me ever since I was a little kid. I'm going to keep going back into that. But I'm going to leave it there because I'm definitely running in circles and I have to go pray Maghrib. I love you guys for the sake of Allah.
Okay. May Allah love you for loving us for his sake, inshallah. No worries.
Amen.
You're going to also pray?
Yeah, but I'll leave in a few minutes because for me, Maghrib is not as early as Anho because he's down south. So
I only have a few minutes left.
Actually. Yeah, bro, I'm going to let you go. Inshallah, if you do have time after Maghrib, you can come back.
Yeah, we're going to do the call intro, inshallah.
Yeah, I'll jump in with audio only just because I can't be in this.
You don't want to be stressed
area. No, I can't be. Can't be in this area because the setup's not going to work
anymore. Okay, got you. Inshallah, bro. May Allah accept your salah.
Ameen. May Allah accept everything we do. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Take care, inshallah. All right, so I think we're going to switch over to the Discord call-in show. So everyone, inshallah, get in there. Make sure you guys are ready to hop in. And I'm going to make sure that we are all set on our end. Yeah, it looks like we are.
And it is freezing in this basement, bro. I'm not going to cap.
Go get a sweater, man. It's okay.
Oh, no. I could layer up, bro. It's just basements are cold.
I feel you, man. I feel you.
I love your setup, bro.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you. I wish I could say they're my plans, but they're not. But back to the topic of Andrew Tate. So recently he did a podcast, which was like 4 hours long. I think part two is coming out with Patrick Bet-David and the Valuetainment team. And obviously with a podcast that long, there's going to be a lot that's discussed, a lot that's said. And there were a few Muslims who took some clips of what he said, put it on Twitter, and basically expressed, oh, I'm so disappointed in Andrew. How could he say this? This stuff is un-Islamic. This stuff is wrong. And I think actually what they're posting about Andrew is wrong in many ways. And that's what I want to talk about, inshallah. So if you believe, if you guys are like mad at Andrew or whatever and you want to discuss that, please join the Discord and discuss. If you think that Andrew is justified, or you know, there's a justification for the brother, also jump on, inshallah, and we can discuss that. We're going to migrate over there before we start the discussion, but that's what it's about. Fahy, do you want to jump on Discord with me?
Yeah, bro. I'm gonna attempt it, inshallah. It works.
Inshallah. Sounds good. All right. So I'm going to set bro, it up on my...
Real quick, do I mute this website right now?
I would say just leave.
Or do I just close it?
Yeah, I would just honestly just leave and then join Discord and I'll share the screen there.
Inshallah, bro. See you then. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All right, can you guys see my screen? Can you guys still hear me, by the way? Just want to confirm. How are you guys? Alhamdulillah, we're doing good. Alhamdulillah, we're finally all back together for a stream, which feels very, very good. Oh, great. Alhamdulillah. I don't know if that's sarcastic or not, but I'm going to take it as
authentic. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can you hear me?
How's the audio?
Sounds good, alhamdulillah. Can you guys hear Fayyad and me?
Do we turn on video or no?
Yeah, I should have done that. Let me do that now.
Boom.
All right. There we go. We miss you all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Alhamdulillah. Okay, so it looks like everyone can hear us, which is good. Yes. You are brainwashed into Arab culture, not Islam. Okay. Can you justify that? Can you show why you think that instead of just making a claim? Rami, really, can you guys do a podcast with Ustad Noman Ali Khan? I think that'd be pretty sick. He's an amazing linguist of the Arabic language. Or if he's not a linguist, he's well up there in his studies in it. So I think that'd be amazing. All right. So guys, if you're down, please, inshallah, join the Discord live chat. We can't hear the guest, so you guys cannot hear Fayyad right now?
No, no way.
No, my volume's all the way up, so... Someone said, bro, Rami isn't an Arab. Yeah, I am. Alhamdulillah.
All right, guys. Chat, can you hear me?
I hear Fayyad. I can hear it. Okay, so it's just not one person. Someone said Rami is Bengali. Okay. Rami, it's not a big deal, but your camera is like flipped and odd. So this is actually the right way my camera is supposed to be. The last way it was is the wrong way because what we're using doesn't let you mirror your camera and OBS is not working. I'm going to mute myself because of the train. So I'll let you take over, inshallah. Or not. It's okay. When are you guys bringing back Ibrahim X, formerly known as Lord Bear? Inshallah soon. Inshallah soon. I think that'd be good. Tamim, are you with us, my man?
No, he's not in the chat.
It's okay. We have someone in the waiting room. We're going to bring them on, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
How you doing, bro?
Good, alhamdulillah.
So what brings you here?
I really just got the notification for YouTube. I was just chilling in the waiting area. not really, yeah. So.
No worries, inshallah. So do you know what we're going to discuss?
Yeah, about just pearly things and her comments about Islam and Andrew Tate.
Actually, we're going to discuss Andrew Tate.
Okay, yes, inshallah.
Yeah, so did you see the clips? Do you know what we're talking about when we say that there's a few, you know, clips that people didn't like?
I saw the interview, you know, I still have I guess, thoughts about it, you know, that are probably not, you know, as popular as I'd like to think, just because I'm not entirely sure that Andrew Tate went to jail. I guess I'll just put it like that.
Well, okay, well, what do you mean by that?
So, how can you, you know how he wasn't able to eat food, and he was fasting and all these things, and he was tweeting out, you know, comments, and he was also active in Hustlers University? While he was in prison, right? Well, he came out gaining muscle mass, you know, and he was active in Hustlers University at the time. So it just doesn't really add up to me. And I feel like, you know, when he was released, it all adds up with the day that The Matrix, the movie, which he so avidly talks about, was released. So it's like all these sort of things don't really align with his whole idea that he went to jail for the time that he did. So it just it brings up some questions.
I see.
I'll just say that.
So I think it's a little too speculative, and I don't think it makes sense because there is documentation by the Romanian government, by the courts, by the police, talking about how they arrested him, how they put him in jail. There were court hearings, and then official documents released about those court hearings, about how they're extending it and all that stuff. So I think that maybe if it was a one-sided thing that he was the only one claiming he was in jail, maybe. But there is so much evidence to show that he actually was. And at the same time, yeah, he was tweeting from Twitter, but he wasn't. It wasn't him doing that. He would, from what I heard, he would tell people who he saw, and then they would kind of tweet on his behalf. I don't think he actually had a phone. And about the fasting thing, he said that he would get the food during the day and then wait till the sun goes down and then eat it, to the best of his understanding of when the sun went down. I don't know if he had windows and stuff. And then he would eat. About the lean muscle mass thing, I don't know, to be honest. He looked pretty similar to me, but I have no idea.
Allahu alam.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you see how it's just a bit speculative to say that he was never arrested?
Yeah, it is, but I mean, you can, I don't know. I always question things to the furthest extent and then bring myself back and then try to find a medium.
Yeah.
Because, you know, truth is, it's a hard thing to find outside of Islam.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's fair. That's fair.
So.
All right. Anything else? I'm going to bring someone else into the room as well, so we can all four of us can chat.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Are you dipping? Bro. No, I'm giving salams to.
Oh, the new.
What does it say? Grumpy Monkas?
Give me a sec. I'm just meeting you guys on YouTube.
Bro, explain yourself.
You don't remember me?
I remember you. Muted. I remember you.
No, I. Fayed can't hear me for.
Yeah, Fayed, you can't hear him? I can hear him.
No, I can hear him, bro.
Oh, okay. I remember last time I was with you guys when you were talking about the.
Let me put the sound up on the stream and see if anyone else can hear him.
I heard myself twice. I have to mute YouTube so I don't get the audio again.
Damn, bro. You know what's crazy? On YouTube, I can hear it, but on my thing, I can't.
Can you check? Maybe he's muted on your stream. Maybe last time you muted him and it carried to this time.
Let me see. There we go. Oh, can you talk, bro?
1, 2, 1, 2, testing, testing.
Testing, testing. I got you.
Yeah,
man.
There you go. You can hear me.
Alhamdulillah.
All right, alhamdulillah.
How are you brothers doing?
Alhamdulillah. Tamam. Doing good, bro.
So what did you do last time for me to mute you? I don't remember.
I don't remember either. I don't know. I don't think there was a reason for you to mute me.
Alhamdulillah. Let's start fresh, bro.
It was probably your name.
Yeah.
It's a cool name.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So what's the issue? I mean, I feel like Andrew Tate keeps on getting flack for saying water is wet. I don't know why people keep getting upset with him.
Did you see some of the clips that people were tweeting?
I saw the whole interview. I saw the whole interview, but I don't know why people were getting mad or like people were a bit triggered. I think one of the main videos that was like circulating was the fact that like when he was talking about God, and then he was talking about God as a concept, and people were like a bit upset. Alaykum salam.
Alaykum salam.
People are a bit upset that, you know, he's not describing God as like, you know, traditional Kulhullah had the love summit. He's just trying to explain the God, trying to explain God as if he was explaining it to an atheist and not sort of using the like, you know, the theological Muslim paradigm. I think those were one of the like the comments or clips.
Yeah.
By the way, I feel like they took this clip out of context because he said an atheist should at least appreciate the concept of God because someone's God saved you, I think, something like that, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like he's saying what he believes. He's saying why an atheist should believe in the concept of Allah, you know, or God.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's out of context.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing. When you listen to these clips, you have to be able to decipher the different ways in which this saying could be understood. There are a few instances of this where he would say something and people interpret it in the worst way possible when there is a decent way to understand it. I don't think it's wrong for him to explain that the way that he did. You know, there are people who use philosophical arguments to prove God exists, and I've done it before as well. And you get to the point where there's an uncreated, necessary being who doesn't depend on anything, and that is the start of the chain of everything that exists. That's not all God is in Islam. That's not all God is. God is also the most merciful. He has 99 names, attributes. Yeah. Why are you limiting God to these four things? We're not limiting God. We're just, you know, being able to discuss with people who are not willing to just accept the idea of a God for whatever reason, even though it's illogical, we're justifying that belief to them logically. And he's doing the same thing. He's saying that conceptually, that God saved you. Now, obviously, whether it's compelling or not is a different discussion. but whether it's okay or not, this is not something that we need to be attacking New Reavers, which, by the way, he's still a New Reaver. He's in jail for 3 months. It's not like he had the freedom to be a New Reaver for very long. So it's
something I wanted to touch on as well, is that, I feel like it's pathetic for us, not for us, but I think it's very pathetic for, like, people to, like, start attacking him for, like, the minute intricacies of like, Aqidah and Fiqh and, like, what he understands. I think Andrew Tate, as a new Muslim, I think he has a pretty, like, he has a pretty solid grasp from a fitrah perspective about, like, what the religion is really about.
Yeah.
And people are focusing on these minute issues when they're not really focusing on, like, the main topic that he was, like, talking about, which is, like, self-respect, improve yourself. I got in jail because I was trying to purport a truth that, like, you know, men shouldn't be weak, men should be this, men should be that, and why that is dangerous for people who are, like, in control. And I think that was his main core message. And also something that people kind of, like, flew over is that PBD throughout, like, not throughout, but in that certain part of the interview, he was trying to pull him back to Christianity. If anybody noticed, it was like he started, like, you know, he was defending Christianity a bit. He was like, you know, but in Christianity, so-and-so is like, yeah, but in Islam, it's a religion everybody respects. And then I remember in the podcast, PBD was like, and it's feared. And he'd say, like, and it's feared because they're, like, you know, implications, like, oh, they're terrorists. It's feared. And Andrew's like, yeah, it's feared, but anybody you respect, you have to fear. So it's like, you know, I think he was trying to poke and prod at that angle, where it's like, oh, your religion is feared. You know what I mean? And then between brackets, terrorism. But, like, I think Andrew really held up. He was solid. Like, the answers the way he reciprocated that question was like, well, nothing you respect, everything you respect, you fear.
Yeah.
I mean, you can be nice to somebody, but if you don't fear him, you don't respect him.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's something, that you touched upon. And I think it's very important that as Muslims today, you should be in some capacity, quote unquote, dangerous in whatever field you are, meaning that you should be competent enough in order to protect yourself from any sort of anything that life might throw at you. Mm-hmm. You know, and then we have the saying, the Prophet, I don't know if it's a Prophet or if it's in the Quran, Muslim al Qawi khairun min al Muslim al Da'if.
Yeah, that's a narration, yeah.
Yeah, the narration. A Muslim who is strong is better than a Muslim who is weak. And strength can manifest in many forms. You can be either strong in knowledge, strong in physique, strong in your speech.
Yeah.
Right? So I think overall the argumentation over the things that he got wrong about Islam, or the things that he, you know, some of his mishaps, I think that's an auxiliary topic. And I think the main focus should be, like, what was the actual message? And what was PBD and the other guy trying to poke and prod to get out of it?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a great point. That's a very good point. Patrick Bet David is a person who's been on the record to say some very weird things Islamically. And Muslims have commented on it before. He quoted Bill Maher for some reason, like, not all T's are Muslim, but all Muslims. Sorry, not all Muslims are T's, yeah, but all T's are Muslim. It's like, why are you quoting Bill Maher? He's a talk show host, bro. Like, he's not a sociologist. He's not a T defense agent. Like,
well, it shows PBD is biased. PBD has a bias towards Christianity, and I mean, like, he is Christian, so it's given. So, like, whenever he says something like that, I take it with a grain of salt. And I'd be like, yeah, of course you're going to think that way, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But in general, I think he makes good argument points. There are things that he says that is, you know, they make sense. Again, he's one of the people who are, I like to say, the clan of the people who say water is wet. You know, it's funny how you can get popular on the internet these days for saying the most obvious things.
There are two genders.
Yeah, SubhanAllah.
If you say, don't be controversial.
Yeah, it's crazy. SubhanAllah, it's crazy. If you say that one statement, you will be loved and hated by many. Literally, it's complete split down the middle. It's crazy. But I do want to cycle out the guests, inshallah. We have four people in the waiting room, and I don't want to give some people longer than others. So, Grumpy.
Thank you, brothers, for having me again. Happy. And Fayyad, please don't mute me. Okay?
Inshallah, bro. I'll keep that in mind. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Take care, inshallah. All right.
Alhamdulillah.
Guys, can you make dua for me? I have a final exam today.
Habibi.
Inshallah, bro. Yeah. You definitely look like a student, bro.
Yeah, sadly. It's like my last exam in my whole school journey, you know.
What's the class?
Chemistry. Wow. It's so
That's it. I hate it. Gen chem or what?
What are you talking about?
General chemistry, or is it like something specific?
Organic.
Nah, general. Like, it's like, it's kind of, yeah, general. Yeah. It's like,
what are you guys learning?
I don't know the names in English, actually. It's in Arabic. Okay, I don't know the name of the things, yeah.
I'm done. So, may Allah make it easy for you, bro.
Allahumma, ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you success, bro. Take care, inshallah.
I mean,
take care. See you.
There was this point that the other brother made, that what's respect without fear?
Yeah.
And when I think of that, I'm like, it's not the fact that we have to be dangerous or violent or anything like that, but we have to be capable of danger. Because think about it, society relies on cops and law enforcement to be capable of violence to the bad guy, right? So this whole myth of don't be violent, don't be dangerous doesn't really work.
Yeah.
And if someone's not capable of harming you, how do you really trust them, bro? You don't, because you don't know with that danger or violent capability if they would actually fold or they would be good men.
I think that
a controlled, dangerous, violent man is way more virtuous in the eyes of Allah and in the eyes of society than somebody that's simply harmless by no choice.
Yeah, 100%. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, the strong believer is better and more loved by Allah than the weak believer, but there's some kind of goodness in everyone. So it's very clear that being strong is better and makes you more loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before I introduce or bring on the talk show guest, I do want to mention this super chat. Please go over the clip of Andrew saying something like, maybe an Islamic scholar would disagree with me, but I have no problem with the gay men. He kind of paraphrased. Brother, do you want to comment on that?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Assalamu alaikum first.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh.
So what I want to say is, I've seen the interview and only the religion part, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I don't agree with him is, like, he did a fantastic job, of course, for someone who's only, you know, he's been only months being a Muslim. And the only thing I didn't agree with is when he said you can find God through, you know, many other religions. You know, when Patrick David said, like, I'm a Christian, and he was explaining Christianity to him. And then he said, it's okay, I believe that, you know, you can find or you can come to God in different ways. And I don't think if that's Islamically correct.
So, well, first, I wanted to actually discuss that first comment that was made, but inshallah, we can go back to after. So in regards to this, it depends on what he means. The statement, there are many paths to God, is not necessarily wrong in all ways it can be understood. If you say many religions to God, that would be wrong. But he said many ways. What is a way? You know, like, for example, if he's talking about getting to God, you could be talking about attaining his pleasure, you know, pleasing God, working in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to work. There are many ways you could do that, you know, doing extra salah, giving extra zakat, you know, giving da'wah. These are things, fasting more.
But I mean by other religions.
That would be wrong.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So we're talking about what he said. We're talking about what he said and if what he said was wrong. What he said could be interpreted. If he meant different religions, that's absolutely wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says the deen in sight of Allah is Islam. In no other way. He says no other deen will be accepted other than Islam.
Other way?
Absolutely.
No other way would be accepted.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Yeah. Now, do we expect Andrew to know that deen means a way of life or a full system? And not necessarily. So him using the word way could, again, it could mean many different things. What, like a way to God? It could be a way of pleasing God, you know? Or it could be that the end goal is Islam, but the way you get to Islam is different for people. Some people start off as atheists and they say, you know, a godless life is a useless life, and then they find Islam. Like Anil could start as a Christian and go to spirituality and go to different things and then get to Islam. There are many ways you can get to Islam. And you could say getting to God is getting to Islam. Like, there are ways you can understand what he said without it actually being wrong. And we don't know what he fully meant when he said that, which is why it's wrong to just jump on what he said and say, okay, this is what he meant and he's wrong. You know, I'm not saying you're doing that.
I went on my homepage today, bro, and I saw multiple videos from YouTubers. Muslim YouTubers too. I'm not going to name any names, but they found it problematic that Tate said the whole thing about even the idea of God is powerful. Now, we as Muslims, clearly, we don't believe Allah to just be an idea, to just be theoretical.
Yeah.
But I think they misconstrued his intention and what he was trying to say, that even the idea of God, like those people that don't really believe in God, but they want to believe in the idea of God, how it still creates more virtuous societies. Because they associate the idea of God with morality and justice, and it still creates better people. That's what he's saying. He's saying that the influence of even the idea of God, of God as an idea, is powerful. He's not saying God is limited to just an idea.
It's like a message to atheists. Like, if you don't believe in God, just keep it to yourself. Don't try to make other people disbelieve in God, you know, because God is a good thing to have God in our lives. Like, basically, that's what he's saying. And yes, I agree with Rami when he said, like, we should always assume the best of intentions and always make, you know, I don't know how to explain this, but assuming the best for a brother, you know. And yeah, that was my comment. And thank you guys for bringing me on.
Barakallahu.
Of course, bro. And, this reminds me of when Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, he was saying that if you see alcohol spilling from your brother's beard, assume that it was spilled on him, right? Yeah. We should always assume good of people unless they give us reasons to believe otherwise.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome.
Joseph Norton, bro, is that an alias?
Yo, brother, you got our stream playing in the background. I can hear that go. Okay, let me remove.
Is my audio on?
Yeah, your audio's on, and we can hear good, the bro. Stream in the background.
Assalamu alaikum, guys.
Wa alaikum assalam, my brother. How you doing?
Barakatuh, bro.
Pretty good. I've watched you guys for a long time, so it's nice to actually talk to you guys.
The pleasure is ours. Thank you so much, man. May Allah bless you. So, first, I want to ask: Do you want to address this comment? Firstly, did you watch the interview or the clips?
Yeah, I did watch it. I watched it as it was premiering.
Amazing. All right.
Only thing I would say is, like, people shouldn't be obviously trying to, like, kick him out of Islam or anything, but I don't think we should promote the interview as, like, a home run or anything either. So,
yeah.
That'd really be my only issue, but
yeah,
you know, I think the promotion of, you know, sex before marriage, even though it was kind of like, it kind of almost like pushed him into doing it, to say that, but that probably wasn't a good look either. But
yeah,
you know, he's new, he's learning.
No, you're right. That was the one clip that the thing I mentioned before, that was the one clip that was, I think, absolutely wrong, and no way in which it could be understood to be okay. I don't want to repeat exactly what he said, but I'll talk about what Islam says very, very clearly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, do not go anywhere near zina. Zina is basically any type of sex outside of marriage, to make it, you know, simple definition. Don't go anywhere near zina. So any idea of, oh, I need to get to know her by sleeping with her or dating her or whatever is completely un-Islamic. Completely un-Islamic and contrary to how the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba and the Tabi'in, Tabi Tabi'in and the generations after did it. Completely contrary to what Islam teaches us to do. And there's a punishment for that in Islam. If you're caught doing that, you will be...
No, go on, bro.
Yeah, if you're caught doing that in Islam, you will be, at the very least, lashed publicly. And if you're married, then you'll actually be given a capital punishment and will no longer be living. So, like,
I actually just... I actually just had a thought, because a lot of Tate's brand is kind of promoting a lifestyle, so just kind of like a potential conflict is that that's just something he's gonna have to kind of address, is just, you know, balancing his Islam as he's learning with you know, the lifestyle he's promoting and part of his brand that he's, you know, so he's actually selling a product too. So that's just something I haven't heard a lot of people talk about. So
That's a fair point. I think the reason some people don't want to bring that up is because I think it introduces enough skepticism that we shouldn't be kind of indulging in when it comes to Muslim. When it comes to non-Muslim, you know, it's not really a big deal. When it comes to a Muslim, there are very specific rights of, you know, not backbiting and slandering that stuff. So even putting some ideas in people's heads, like if someone were to put the idea into someone's head that a person like might have committed zina, that could be Islamically just as bad as slander, and they could be punished for slander Islamically. So it's like, we have to be careful with those things, which is why I think some people didn't mention it. But there is this comment. Since you watched the whole thing, I want to ask you about it. Super Chat says, please go over the clip of Andrew saying something like, maybe an Islamic scholar will disagree with this, but I have no problem with a gay man. That's paraphrase. It's not word for word, but I'm sure you remember that part.
Yeah. You know, and I'll be like, cause I'm new to Islam. You know, I've probably been Muslim almost 2 years, in August will be 2 years.
SubhanAllah.
And I used to be, you know, that was probably one of the last things I used to be very liberal as far as, like, you know, as long as, you know, it doesn't bother me, like the homosexuality stuff, let them do what they want. And I'm not saying I'm too far away from that anymore, but just the way we see things going in school nowadays, with what they're, like, trying to force down kids' throats, with the LGBT stuff, I've just kind of really changed my view on that whole issue. So I don't know what the right Islamic answer is, what he should have said there, but I'm kind of still rounding out where I should be. I mean, I know it's wrong Islamically, but I don't know if, like, should we not associate with someone in a friendly manner?
See, that's the thing. And I think Ali Dow made a video and he made a very similar point. I think it's a very good point. It depends on what you mean by I don't have a problem and, you know, friends with. If you mean friends, like your best friends with them over Muslims, and you would take them over Muslims, which I think clear is not what he meant, then that would be an issue. But being friendly with or being nice with, you know, you can go to my Instagram up to this day. I had a very nice public discussion with a gay guy who was attacking Islam at the time. Mm-hmm. And it was a very positive experience. He took down his videos and changed the ways and that stuff. You know, what's wrong with that? In terms of what people do privately in the bedroom, no one take my word for this. But as far as I know, Islamically, as human beings, we shouldn't be spying on people or really caring what they're doing in their bedroom. If they get caught by four male witnesses or there's like video evidence, something like that, punishment will be given 100%. But we're not even allowed to spy on people. So why should we really care what's going on in their bedroom? So even Islamically, it's like we shouldn't really care either. We should care in the sense that it's haram and it's a sin. And
of course,
if we can, we will tell someone, don't do it, it's haram. We'll educate people, it's haram, you know, forever. But, you know, saying that I don't have a problem with it doesn't necessarily mean that, oh, it's not haram all of a sudden, you know? Mm. So,
and the West, bro, the West also conveniently has forgotten that if a man and a woman were to sleep with each other in public too, they'd have a consequence just like a man and a man in public in the Sharia.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. So, that's a great point. Another same person sent another super chat. I make about the same comment. I make this point because I feel like Andrew generally sees Islam as a tool for fighting evil. He does not seem to understand it deeply and submit to the will of Allah. May Allah guide him. Maybe social sharia can help him. Hidayah comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to guide or leave astray anyone, then they would be guided or left astray if he wills. You know, no person can really guide anyone else. As you said, may Allah guide him. But let's not speculate about the brother. All right, let's not say he is or he isn't or whatever. He's our brother in Islam. We love him for the sake of Allah. We're going to support him no matter what. Support, by the way, the Prophet ﷺ spoke about oppression. He said, help the one who's being oppressed and the oppressor. All right? And the Sahaba were like, okay, we understand helping someone who's oppressed. How do you help an oppressor? And the Prophet ﷺ said, you help them by stopping them from oppressing others. So I think a similar concept would apply here. We help him by stopping him or educating him on anything that he's saying that is wrong, Islamically speaking. Most of the things he said in those clips that are posted on Twitter were not necessarily wrong, except for the sleeping around one. That was the only thing that there's basically no justification for. A few more super chats, and I want to get back to the discussion. And actually, brother, Joseph, is there anything else you want to say before I bring the next guest on?
Do I have to hop off here?
In a moment, yeah, just because I forgot.
I was going to say, the only thing I haven't heard brought up, and I do think this was a genuine, you know, mistake on his part, is that he basically said that we're not even supposed to try and convert people who are Christian or Jewish or something like that. We shouldn't force them, obviously, but like his actual words were, I don't even think we're supposed to try and convert, you know, Christians or Jews. Mm-hmm. So basically, I think like Dao is something that's like either explicitly said or implied that it's like an incumbent upon all of us.
It's an obligation, bro. Nonetheless,
yeah,
right.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't see
that closing. Yeah. I'm confident about him saying that, but it was probably just a mistake. And, you know, I appreciate you guys bringing me in, and, you know, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Allah bless you, bro. It was a pleasure having you on. Take care.
May Allah bless brother Joseph for speaking the haq and saying it as it is, bro.
I mean,
and may Allah allow people to also have a little bit of empathy and sympathy for Andrew Tate, because he is a new revert. The only difference between him and the scholars, those that get it right, is we're seeing all of his mistakes, bro. He's in the public figure, the public eye, as a public figure. Everyone's seeing all the mistakes he makes compared to other people behind closed doors. So we shouldn't be too overbearing, because there is a lot of good that he does. Yeah. And inshallah, when we get the chance to talk to him, or next time we talk to Jewel, we can definitely discuss that.
Inshallah, no worries. Another super chat. Brother Shan says, may Allah bless you guys and your efforts when you come back down to the UAE. We need a sartorial number 2, inshallah. Inshallah soon. Yeah, hopefully it'll be in the works soon. That's the plan.
Inshallah. So unfortunately, bro, my laptop is about to pass out, right? They don't want to get the stream demonetized real quick. So I will have to hop off and pray Maghrib, inshallah.
No, inshallah.
It's been a pleasure. Brother Hadi, Rami, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, boys.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Take care, inshallah. I guess it's just going to be me, and I'll bring in a few people so we're going to have more of a discussion before I end off the stream.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Hadi, kif halak? How are you doing, man?
I'm good, alhamdulillah. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing good. So what did you want to discuss?
I want your opinion on how would you... Okay, so for context, I am a student, college student.
Yeah.
And you know how those campuses can be. Yeah. So, like, how do you sort of navigate through just college, like, campus? I mean, I've been doing it for 2 years, but, like, I just kind of realized that, like, there's no point in trying to sort of kind of deal with it, because that's just... it ends up becoming a stress up on you. And then it's kind of, for some people they can do it, but like what I used to do is just stay by myself in my room all the time and barely go out, which is also something that like I don't really want to do. So how would you, at least socially, recommend going through just college? Because the Muslim Students Association, they don't do much, and yeah, most of the people you'll talk to get into some sort of intoxicants.
So which issue is specifically? Is it a bad influence from other guys, or is it the fact that there are women? Like what issue in particular?
Bad, I would say, yeah, bad influence from other people,
yeah,
general.
That one's simple. You just have to surround yourself with good Muslims. And I'm sure there are, even if it's just one or two, I'm sure there are good Muslims on campus. And if you're a good Muslim, inshallah, you should bond with them, no problem. And just stick with them. Don't sit around with other people. Don't care what other people are doing. Don't get friendly with anyone who, you know, you suspect is being weird, doing drugs, alcohol, going to be a bad influence. And just only be around good people. This is the advice of the Prophet ﷺ, the Sahaba. And there are many ahadith that justify being in good company as opposed to bad company. Or even being alone as opposed to being in bad company.
All right. Allah.
Inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. If you can't find anyone on campus, as a last resort, I would say, you know, stick to like the Three Muslims group chat and Discord. Find like an online group of Muslim brothers that you can talk to. So at the very least, at the end of the day, when you come back home, you have that influence instead of a negative one, you know.
Jazakallah.
Wa ayyakum, brother. May Allah bless you, inshallah. And let's get back to the actual topic at hand. So I want to welcome also Hawk and Muslim Tom Cruise. Assalamu alaikum, guys. How you doing?
Alaikum assalam, brother.
Alaikum assalam, man.
It's quite the name, Muslim Tom Cruise.
Hey, by the way, Rami, you commented on my channel, man. Thanks for that, man.
I commented on your channel.
Yeah, you said great work, man. I really appreciate it, man. Hey, listen, I just want to say, yeah, like, actually, the funny thing is, you know, I know the topic is about Andrew Tate and the podcast. Yeah, I truly get that, yeah. So sometimes what happens is, you know, when you're debating atheists or people who follow liberalism, basically, they believe in the harm principle, right? Mm-hmm. So when you ask them about objective morality and subjective morality, when you ask them this question about the harm principle, so when the harm principle is removed, so when you ask them a question like this, yeah, for example, and they might respond to this, yeah, like the question goes like this, yeah, but if a brother and sister basically want to have intercourse with each other and with a condom, so basically they are eliminating, or let's say the guy goes and gets a vasectomy, so they're eliminating all the chances of them producing a child with genetic issues, right? So they're removing the harm principle. So then an atheist might say, from his atheistic perspective, he might say, oh yeah, the harm is removed, so now it can be, you know, right? Yeah, so then his response can be, sometimes, you know, wasn't Adam and Eve like, they weren't their children's, they committed incest or something like that. Sometimes his response could be like that, yeah. So what would your response be to that?
So my response would be that, firstly, where do you get morality from? If you get your morality from God, then whatever God dictates is moral, right? Because God will tell us what is good and what is bad, what is moral, what is immoral, and he will give us laws to live by. The laws that Adam and Eve, alayhim salam, had when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them were specific to them. because they were the first human beings and Allah ordained a law for them. Their law was children from the same womb can't marry and be together, but children from the other womb can. This is something that obviously was overseen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so there's no issue from him. So there was no harm because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was overseeing it. If you look at it from that perspective, there's no harm principle, there's no issue or anything like that. And Allah ordained it, so objectively, in terms of morality, there would be no issue. And there would be no case to make from an atheist, unless they're trying to say we're hypocritical. But we're not saying it's categorically wrong for all times and places, all people, no matter what. We're saying that Allah decides. And for us, now, it's wrong. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that it's wrong for us. For Adam and Eve, he had specific law that he decreed for them, and morality, a moral standing, basically, with that law. So it wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, I got you, yeah. That's actually a pretty good answer. Okay. Thank you so much, man. And the second thing is basically, I know that Andrew Tate keeps talking about this, yeah? Four wives and this and that. And this is pretty prevalent in the Red Pill, basically, thing. That Sneeko also mentions four wives, yeah? To prove his... basically proof of four wives, yeah. So he says that Islam has it, yeah. So I know a lot of points, you know, that supports the undeniable evidences for polygyny. I'm actually making a video on this. So for example, there's hypergamy that proves there's facilitation. So those women who want to be with those top 10 to 20% of men, Islam provides that facilitation. There's also a rise of single parent households. Islam also provides facilitation to them. And polygyny also, you know, stops promiscuity in a society by those top 20-10% of men not sleeping with those women, yeah, providing those women the responsibility and so on and so forth. So would you, like, I know a lot of points, you know, that supports polygyny, you know, but do you know any other, like, points would you say about, like, for example, like, do you know anything about, like, any other points, you know, that support polygyny? Like, a woman might say, you know, like, if a man can get four men, you know, why can a woman get four men, you know? I know there's also our intuition, our fitra that rejects it, you know, for there's also social shaming cross-culturally, you know, a woman that sleeps with multiple men is called a, you know what. So do you have another point to support this argument, for example, the polygyny? I know a lot of things that actually support this, but do you know any other things that I might be able to increase my knowledge in?
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. I think what you have so far is pretty solid. I would just go back to the basics as well. It's very important, and people overlook this. It's very important that we get back to the basics. When you say it's wrong or it's okay or whatever, this is not based on some random principle like harm or you know, some social construct. It's based on what Allah, the Almighty, the All-Powerful, the All-Wise, the All-Knowledgeable, the creator of everyone has commanded. So the creator of the universe commanded this way. That morally justifies it for us. It's prohibited for women, it's allowed for men. That morally justifies it. You can also look at it from the perspective of a woman doesn't have to provide for even herself. So a woman's going to be provided for by four men? That doesn't make sense. Rather than a man who can provide for four women and families and provides for all four of them as someone who's supposed to take care of them. There's things like sperm competition. There are things like
she's also leadership, yeah.
Yeah, leadership 100%. So she's gonna have four.
They're gonna start fighting with each other, yeah. They're gonna start fighting with each other, yeah, for leadership, yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there's the issue of she can only get pregnant so many times and for 9 months, and then she's gonna be out of commission. Like, how, like, what if one man is married to a woman that's married to like three other guys? I don't think she's gonna have the capacity to be with all of them as consistently as they would need, especially if she's pregnant
at the same time,
like, poor woman.
And let's say she gets pregnant, you know, let's say she produces a child, and yeah, that's the first guy's child. So now it's the time of the second guy. So the other guys are going to say, sexually, you understand? Like, I get those points, man. I get those points, 100%. So there's a lot of points. I'm going to combine all of those points together. Yeah, it's going to make a very solid case. Thank you so much, man. Seriously, man. And by the way, the thing that Andrew Tate was talking about, like in terms of God as an idea, I know he portrays it as an idea, but we can basically link into intuition, you know, like there's two ways to thinking about this. Jonathan Haidt also talks about this, right? Analytical thinking and intuitive thinking. So Andrew Tate was talking about in terms of intuition, you know, like people believe it's like there's this inside of them. They look at it from an innate perspective, a natural perspective. Thank you so much, Nami. Yeah, seriously, man. All right. Take care. All right.
Inshallah. You as well. Barakallahu feek. May Allah bless you. Now for now on, let's stay on topic, inshallah. No more off topic questions. We're gonna end off the discussion with entertain, inshallah. So speak now, inshallah. Forever hold your peace. I'm gonna bring
you the rest of people. May I make a point myself?
Yeah.
I was please. Here.
Yeah, go for it.
I think Andrew Tate specifically was talking about a time where he would make arguments against atheists. But this was like before he accepted Islam. So he wasn't making the argument right now as like a God as an idea. He was talking about like years ago how he would use that idea to talk to atheists. So I think we need to like take the context into the, you know, we need to look at the context. Like you said, watch the whole video, the interview, instead of watching the clip. And you know what I mean, brother?
Yeah.
100%. And And I don't want to badmouth Andrew Tate or like, you know, talk badly about him. I want him to, you know, become a better Muslim and spread better, like, an image of Islam, inshallah. But inshallah. You guys, I think one of the people made a comment, super chat, and talked about Sartorial Shooter. I know you guys had him on the show.
Yeah.
Do you think you can, like, somehow contact him to, like, maybe connect some people to Andrew Tate, inshallah, to better educate him or, like, help him in these matters and education of the deen? What would you think about that?
Firstly, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless Brother Jewel Shooter. He's an amazing brother. So shout out to him. He's doing some great things. And may Allah bless him and aid him in that. In regards to me reaching out, I don't think we're really in a position to do that. I know that Andrew Tate has received the this kind of information and perspective from people. I know he definitely has the resources. So I don't think kind of involving myself in that way would actually be beneficial. I think that inshallah we'll give it time and we'll let the brother, you know, have the breathing room that he needs, because he's definitely being pestered online by people left, right, and center. So I don't want to add to that by making it personal. I think that'd be wrong.
Yeah, you're right, brother. Inshallah, you can have him on the show and that'll be great.
Inshallah.
Thank you.
Barakallahu feekum, bro. May Allah bless you immensely. I think you made some great points.
Thank you.
I'm going to take this time to read a super chat before we get the final speakers. Ayub says, it was an intense convo. I don't blame Tate for messing up a couple times, and the man has been in jail more than being a Muslim in the free world. SubhanAllah. That's a great point, and that's very true. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and grant the Muslims a little more patience and understanding. I mean, all right. So, Hawk and Hadi, is it okay if I remove you guys or put you back in the waiting room?
Oh, I was going to say one last
thing. Sorry about that. Thank you.
No worries, Hadi. Go for it.
I was going to say, it's just as somebody who has had experience with reverts in the past, it's just the best thing you can do is just have patience, have sabr. They're new to Islam, and especially Andrew Tate is extremely new to Islam. So
yeah,
best thing we can have is sabr. And, you know, my mom always likes to say this, was like, maybe in the eyes of Allah, he is maybe more favored than you can be, you know. You never know.
It's a great point. That's a beautiful point. Barakallahu feekum. May Allah bless you and your mother as well. I think that's an amazing point.
Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa ayyakum wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Take care, inshallah. All right. Final two speakers, Suhaib and Slingshaw. Welcome, guys.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. All right. So what brings you guys on? What do you want to chat about?
No, basic.
Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
Wa alaikum salam. Either of you take the mic, go for it, inshallah.
Yeah. So basically, I just wanted to point out, you know, for all the concerning issues that people were talking about, he said this and he said that and this. First of all, I wanted to point out, he just converted to Islam, and also the fact that he didn't have anybody around him. You know, he only had one Quran, as we've seen, jail, and he had no knowledgeable person with him. So of course it makes sense that he may slip up and make a few mistakes because he doesn't have any knowledge. He's still, like, as one would say, he just converted to Islam, he doesn't know anything, you know. So I'm saying, like he doesn't have anybody knowledgeable with him that can correct him or anything. We could only, like, you know, try to, like, point out the mistakes and, you know, tell him that this is wrong, or like, you know, or like critique him when we when we know that he's with somebody and, like, you know, that he's actually learning. But right now, like, he was in jail for, like, nearly, 7 months and 6 months, and he converted, like, you know, in like, for jail. But, like he didn't have anybody with him. He only had one Quran, and he's studying Islam all by himself. So, like, you know, like, yeah, of course, it makes sense that he might slip up. If you had a friend that, like, you know, he doesn't know anything, we wouldn't say that somebody, even, like, according to what the hadith says, like, somebody, or what the scholars say, if somebody is ignorant on a thing, he's not sinful. So if I didn't know that, you know, like, anything, like, if I didn't know, like, just like somebody who didn't know about Islam, in the day of judgment, he's going to be tested, but he won't be punished because he was ignorant. He didn't know.
Yeah.
So I'm saying that he was just ignorant, and you can't really, you know, blame somebody who didn't know anything, who just converted to Islam and who didn't have anybody surrounding him who was knowledgeable.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think that's a great point. And I think most people on here have kind of taken the same approach, which is that it's too soon to really condemn somebody in his position, whether it's Andrew Tate or somebody else. You know, he's fairly new to Islam, and we need to be more diligent and understanding. So I think that's a great point.
That's true.
Sorry, Slingshot, it's kind of hard to hear. I think your mic's a little bit low. Let me see if I can. I can't make you louder on my end. Can you get closer to the mic, maybe?
This is good.
Sorry, what?
You hear me?
Yeah, I think it's good. Chat, can you guys hear him?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. I think it's good now. Yeah, you're okay. Good.
My bad. I'm doing well.
All right. So, did you want to add anything to the topic? Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Yes. I think he is very new. We converted. I think it's fair we all give him a chance. Because just like me, I did join here, and everyone was like, kind of mad at me. My almost joined, or by thinking I was pranking guys.
I remember you. Wait. I remember you.
Yeah, the one.
What's your name again?
Slingshot 509. Everyone called me Snailshot.
Snailshot. I remember you, bro. What was your name on YouTube?
Slingshot 509.
Oh, it was the same name. Wow, subhanAllah. Yeah, I remember you, bro. And you're absolutely right, my brother. Firstly, it's great to talk to you again. Hope you've been well, inshallah. Secondly, you're absolutely right. You know, with new reavers, people just accept Islam. If Allah himself is giving them that leeway and is understanding towards the fact that they're not going to know everything, even just the basics right in the beginning, then why should we as humans not give that same kind of leeway? I think that's an amazing point. Yeah, everyone remembers you now in the chat.
Alhamdulillah.
My brother, let's connect offline as well, inshallah. Please send me a text and let's talk. Let's catch up. I want all the updates on how you've been, my man.
It's been good. I've been pretty good, not gonna lie.
Alhamdulillah.
Been falling for a bit, but maybe Allah will give me.
By the way, Akhirami.
No, yeah.
I kind of have like an off subject question.
Okay, no worries, inshallah. We'll make it the last question for the stream.
Okay. Yeah, it's nothing. Okay, so basically it's random, but I had an argument with somebody, and basically we're questioning how tall is Rami.
Okay.
And then you know, I told him, bro, I seen in a clip before, like he was like, he's like 6'6", 6'7", or something. And then he told me, no, Rami's pretty sure he's like probably like 5'8", or something. And so I just want to make this clip, like, I really want you to answer this because I want to send him this clip right now. Well, yeah.
Okay. You guys are funny, man. You guys both chose some extremes. One's like super tall, one super short. I believe exactly. Take your guess.
Okay, I guess. I want to say 5'5".
5'5"? Okay.
Exactly. Everybody thinks you're short.
Okay.
I don't know why.
So these are some guesses. 6'1". The same guy guessed 6'1", 6'3", 6'E. Don't know what that is. 5'8", 6'1". Yeah. Someone said I can confirm Rami is 7'1". 6'1", 5'10", 6'1", 6'1". Okay, yeah, I'm basically 6'1", or I'm maybe like a quarter of an inch shorter than 6'1". Yeah, you're both
okay,
wrong.
Okay,
there was a joke. Wow. There was a joke going around that I was 6'7" or something like that. I think one of the guys made that joke, but yeah, I'm 6'1". Alhamdulillah.
Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I see. Okay. Wow. I was so off. We're both so off. Okay.
May Allah bless you, bro. I appreciate your guess because at least your guess was flattering. His guess was demeaning.
Alhamdulillah, bro, thank you very much.
Barakallahu feekum, bro. Take care, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Talk to you soon, brother.
Wa alaikum salam.
All right, Slingshot. Habibi, any final words for me and for the stream?
Wa alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my beautiful brother. Inshallah, I will talk to you soon. Take care.
Take care.
Bye. What an amazing brother. May Allah bless him. Very proud of him. He's definitely come a long way. If you guys go back and watch the older streams, you'll see him in the comments. We're trying to help him take his shahada and it's just taking long. We thought he was trolling because he just didn't join forever, but alhamdulillah, may Allah bless him. He accepted Islam later on by himself, not even with us. And I guess the rest is history. May Allah bless him. Brother Rami, if you put on some muscle, you look like Hercules. Inshallah. Inshallah. That's the goal. That's the goal. Inshallah. I'm looking to get there very soon. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Slingshot, welcome back. But I think I'm going to go ahead and end the stream, inshallah. I'll take maybe a few comments. If there's any last super chats, please send them now so I can address them before we end. Bro, you asked this like 27 times. 20, like a billion times, bro. Inshallah, we want to. I think that'd be cool, or at least I want to. I have to talk to the brothers about it. Inshallah, we'll see. Please stop commenting this. Have you seen navigating differences? I've heard a lot about it, but I haven't seen it, so I can't comment on it. I think I know what it's about. Why did Patrick Day? I think Patrick bet David give Tate a Bible as a gift. I think it's similar to like when I gave Dr. Dennis McDonald a copy of the Quran. It's not really a bad thing, in my opinion. What happened to Lucid X3 Muslims? It's gonna happen, inshallah. It's going to happen. Daniel Kikuchi made videos on navigating differences. Yeah, if you guys want commentary on that, inshallah, you can go over to his channel and see what he said. I can't really give much feedback. I haven't seen it or read it or whatever it is. Patrick Bet David gave a Bible and a Quran. Okay, that's nice. That's very nice. Why are you guys giving half the story, man? Give the full story. As Muslims, we need full context, bro. I'm sorry. It's okay. May Allah bless you. Can I talk to you privately? Just DM me. I'll try my best to respond. I get a lot of DMs from people, so I'm not able to get to everyone. Sneeko in Morocco, finding a Muslim life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. May Allah make him a good husband and bless him with a good wife or wives. Allahumma ameen. Did you guys talk to Young Don? I had a brief conversation with him. I think he's a good brother. I'm proud of him, alhamdulillah. But I think he also needs space to continue to learn for himself. He's always invited to the stream. Honestly, I think as a Christian, even as a Christian, I love him. I think he's a great guy. And I think he's really, really grown a lot. As have we, alhamdulillah. Yes. Aisha radiallahu anha did clean the garments of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, semen and other things. I don't know why you felt like you need to comment that, but it's a hadith, alhamdulillah. I think you wish you could get your wife to do that for you. So we're not doing call-in right now, inshallah. You can hop on next week. Can you comment on the... I didn't watch a full interview. I didn't get that far into it, so I don't remember that part, so I can't comment on it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the children. Okay, you guys, I think it's gone on for too long, inshallah. I'm going to go ahead and end it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all immensely. Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana wa fi al-akhirati hasana. Waqina adhab an-nar. Inshallah, I'll see you guys on the next one. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.